Here is another recording from Snake River Comic Con about podcasting and what we do behind the scenes. Ended up getting fellow podcasters, Marlis and Sean from the Nerd Podcast, Martin from Nerds and Stuff YouTube channel, and he's a podcaster, Matt from Dunsea Diner and Entertechment, and of course me from Geeks Are Wired, or Bill from Geeks Are Wired. And I cleaned up as much as I could, but this is what we have. Please enjoy.
Yesterday we had him on the stage, and he was telling us how when he was...
He's a story about himself.
Yeah. I was on the stage, so I guess so. And he was making the Force Awakens Disney Infinity game, and so he was able to read the script 16 months before the movie came out.
So jealous right now.
And we're like, that's crazy!
He was like, I couldn't tell any of my friends. I knew what was happening in Force Awakens a year and a half before everybody else, and we were like, oh!
Can we just, like, be a fly on the wall in your house just occasionally?
Can we just hang out with you forever?
Yeah.
So, Bill Martin, tell us about Geeks Are Wired.
Geeks Are Wired has been going on for just over 5 years now, and it's just a general collection of technology, comic books, movies, TLDR, the Internet of Things, so I say all the time. We just have lots of fun. Just a general over everything.
So if it's anything in the geek realm, you guys cover it.
I try to, at least.
tell us about your rotating cast for Geeks Are Wired.
Well, we've had something called Matt Davenport on.
No, you guys have like regulars, but they kind of swap in and out, don't they?
Well, people, life happens. So I have been the one that has been every episode running it and doing all that. That makes sense. we started off. My wife actually helped out with it. Heads and friends. Go back. Currently, we have Joe and Jordan, a couple, Anne and Ted. They actually are also on it. They're and Alex. He was a regular. He moved off to Washington, and now we actually wrote him in. He's the only person we've ever really done with.
Okay.
But so that is the semi-regular. Life happens, though, and people sometimes can't make it for a week. That's the nice thing about, okay, you can't make it this week, because we record every week. We were doing on Fridays, and back when I was in school, Friday was the best time. I didn't have homework.
I can't even imagine trying to get all the schedules of everybody together.
Well, that's one of the other things I ran into was, okay, let's do it Friday. I'll try to post it sometime by Monday. Okay, that Saturday sounds good. Everyone's a little busy on Saturday, so it's becoming somewhere between Friday and Sunday is a podcast recording. I was like, okay, I'm going to not keep anybody because everyone likes, you like to listen to your podcast. They come out on a certain day, they do this, and
it becomes routine.
You don't think about it. And this kind of shifting around, I was worried that people wouldn't stick around. So I was like, okay, Friday nights, officially, we're doing this. Make it a thing.
I bet your summers were awesome. We look forward to summers. Because everybody's schedule completely clears up in the summertime, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. That's why Wednesday came around, though. Because, people were in school. We only had one. Jordan's actually on current school. He's not been on nearly as much because of homework. On the weekend, you have the entire weekend to do that
work,
one homework.
School, life, family. Yeah. Sneaking into podcasts there once in a while.
Exactly.
Cool. All right, Martin, you're with Nerds and Stuff. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, and it's not so much a podcast, but you have a video element to this, don't you?
Yeah, so I run a YouTube channel called Nerds and Stuff, and we do, I've been playing role-playing games for half a decade running them. Cut my teeth on D&D 3.5 or 3.0, and I've just been playing role-playing games for a long, long time, and really like to get together with my friends and started recording them, and I recently became a videographer at Trade and really wanted to kind of enter that market, but I wasn't so strong with audio as much as I loved video. So me and my friends decided to do some role-playing actual play content. We run one-shots and campaigns in Star Wars Universe, in urban fantasy, a lot of different elements. And so we've been doing that for just over a year now. And we've been to some pretty big gaming conventions at Gen Con, a few gaming conventions of America.
Nice.
Last year we met all the publishers, especially some of the ones of the games that we're playing. That's really cool. So yeah, we've been doing this for just over a year, and we've actually been met with pretty good success because of SEO and placement in our search engines.
Okay, fantastic. Let's move it back over here. Tell us a little about how you got started, what equipment, how did you get started? What was that very first podcast like?
Oh, man.
So it was in, we actually interviewed the florist.
The florist?
The florist.
Okay.
Okay.
So we downloaded the free Audacity on the laptop. I had a $12 microphone that I bought on Amazon that I later realized was doing nothing. It was just using the laptop's own microphone. We had like a list of questions that we probably stick to. I was saying so for every single question because I didn't know how to transition from one question to another. So be like, so tell me about. And it was just, it was super awkward, but it was a lot of fun. And every time we've got another one, we've been, you know, tweaking a little thing here and there.
Yeah, the quality wasn't so great, but after we did our interview, we started going into sports. And we were instantly hooked. We were like, we want to do sports. And at that point, we were like, okay, we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, how long have... how long have you been doing this? How many episodes have you put out? And what lessons have you learned along the way? Like you mentioned, you're always self-editing. You want to know how to do something better, how to do something better. From then to now, what have you learned?
So we started in February last year.
So almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years now. We're very consistent with something that we are self-editing. We're working to try to figure out how to build it into our schedules better.
Yeah, our episodes are about an hour. We have 15.
Yeah, around 15 episodes so far. Yeah, and we just... A lot of it is just trying to find people that normally don't get interviewed and trying to convince them that, you know, they should be interviewed and they have something to contribute for us. And they're like, oh, you don't want to hear me. I just run a pizza shop on the road. But we're like, no, you have something cool. And so it's just trying to find people that want to do it. And it doesn't matter. It just takes a long time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a lot of people get interviews on Skype.
Uh-huh. And face-to-face.
Yeah.
It's always such a great interview whenever we're actually there. So obviously scheduling is an issue.
Right.
All around.
Yeah, we actually drove the 3 hours to go from where we live in our city up here to Pocatello to get Tangle and John, after they were starting this. We drove the 3 hours and stayed overnight so we could get that live face-to-face.
And it's amazing. I mean, the convenience of Skype or, you know, making audio calls or video calls is one thing, but like you said, face-to-face, like what we're doing now, getting that reaction, facial reaction, real-time reactions is a whole different use, isn't it?
Yeah,
and there's a lot of subtext that kind of means that you're exploring that you didn't necessarily have written down here, and then some of the best stuff happens.
It can go in a whole different direction.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, tell us, you guys are at what, 200, almost 300 episodes now?
We're about 300.
Okay.
270?
So that equates to, let's see, 300 episodes in podcast time is about, what, 24 years real time?
Yeah, it feels like that.
Tell us how you got started. What was the impetus for you to get started in podcasting and say, this is something I want to do?
Go the opposite direction of what Martin did. I saw YouTube and went, hey, this sounds fun. I want to do this. I'm not good at video editing. So I was like, no, I was getting people on. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'll do it. No, I'm not being on video. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, okay, the audio definitely helped because I actually didn't want to do it. And the other people, so I was like, okay, well, let's just do an audio. And it started growing from that. I actually originally bought some, like, $5 ZoomStar mics.
Really?
Yes.
Through the PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is the original microphones I used.
Wow.
I still have them. Like, okay. Memories. Okay, great. Go back in the...
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, keeping everyone... making the schedule, like I was saying earlier. Did the Skype thing for a little bit. Yeah, that's when we do it all.
Around the table.
You can see the interactions. Occasionally, like, where Alex is... In Washington, there's that lull, sometimes an interruption or something, you know, did you say something? We've gotten better.
Internet went down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's been super helpful, and yeah, having the everyone face to face is really nice, and getting people, and I also set up on the kitchen table.
Yep.
I set it up. That's why I brought in the equipment. I have a box for everything.
You're so mobile.
Yeah. I had to initially. And I got, you know, after we moved, we got our new house. I have a podcasting room.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Dedicated so nice. Room. I never have to tear this equipment down again until today.
Okay. I'll set up later.
So what have you learned over the, what year did you first start the podcast?
I think it's just over 5 years ago, in June or July.
So you obviously approaching 300th episode. What have you learned? What are something like two or three of the biggest things you've learned in doing the podcasts?
Pick a date, record, and release. Stick with it. If you're going to change, try not to.
Consistency.
Yes. If you have to take time off, it happens. I mean, it was 4 years. I didn't miss a week. I knew that I was going to not be able to record a week. I found people in recording 2 episodes.
Oh.
And I said them publish. And through the, who I publish through, when I don't have to do it, they through, publish on this date.
Scheduled release.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's super helpful. But if you think that those couple weeks, I get off, I just couldn't get everyone together. I didn't have time for it. I was like, okay, I can do this. And it fell through. I was like, I guess we can do it. I had just 2 weeks off that. I was like,
wow.
Yeah. Just in those 2 weeks. Because and that's the thing, like holiday season. Publish during the holiday season. A lot of people take breaks during the holiday season.
They have a lot of extra free time.
Yeah, you'll pick up with listeners because listeners still, yeah, they now have free time. They want to keep on listening and now they're feelers up there.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to that how to find an audience question here in a little bit. But Martin, let's start with you. You've been doing this for a year. What did you start out with and what have you learned over the year?
Yeah, so I felt pretty confident coming into the YouTube scene, as that had been a big part of the job, but one of the hardest parts about it was that consistency, was the mass production. When I hit this thing running, I had a 40-hour job, and I worked this YouTube channel like another 40-hour job, and that's why I have a lot more gray hairs in my beard today. But the first couple months, we had put out not too many videos. We were growing pretty slowly. It wasn't until we gained a consistent schedule and we started promoting on social media websites, especially Reddit, was a big way to help for our audience, and we can get to that in a few. But once we gained consistency and we had people, our audience, start talking about our videos, and you know, we put out about an hour-long adventure or session each week, and we would do several different games, several different one-shots. And once we started getting rolling, we would kind of get lucky and maybe piggyback off someone else's video, and our video would pop up at the end of someone else. So that was a way that YouTube really helped us grow, is the analytics in the back end. And I remember around Christmas, our first year, one of the Vlogscast spinoff channels, which is one of the biggest YouTube channels right now, they did a Star Wars adventure, and ours was the number one recommended video right afterwards. We must have gained, you know, 20,000 views.
Wow.
In a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was,
hooray for piggyback.
Yeah. So it, you know, but a lot of this has been hard work more than anything. We haven't made a lot of money doing this, but the biggest thing is you have to work hard at it. And it might not look like that on the outside, but a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put into the process.
Now, with video editing, there's so much that goes on. Do you use one camera shoot, three camera shoot? And then how long does it take you to edit one episode?
Yeah, so like I said, we do 1 hour episodes and we do one camera at the end of the table. And we all do at the same table. We don't do Skype or anything like that. We want that tabletop experience, that face-to-face role-playing. It really brings up characterization and storytelling. And it takes me, for each hour we record, generally about 2 to 3 hours of post-production just to edit. We go through and we curate all of our content to make sure that we're not hitting out a product that you're not proud of.
Right.
So, but there are, we do a lot of animations and stuff too. Like, we did
really?
A text crawl for our Star Wars campaign
that
we feature every couple episodes. And that probably took me 2 weeks to make just for the text crawl, and then it jumps into a hyperspace time.
Oh, wow.
And arrives at your table. So, I do lots of stuff like that because that's the kind of stuff that I feel puts us different than
little
the rest
extra
of the
something.
Yeah.
It's the sizzle on the steak.
Yeah.
All right. Right on.
All right.
Yep.
But you've been asking us questions about you, though. You still have a podcast. I don't get...
Well, this isn't about me. I'll be more than happy to talk about
because
it.
Because you do all the Skype stuff, right?
We do. I'll just tell you a little bit about what I do. I do a thing called the Dune Sea Diner podcast, and it is 120% Star Wars. And it germinated from... I have a friend that I went to first grade with, and we've remained friends all these many years. We love talking about Star Wars. He lives in the Treasure Valley, Boise area. I have another friend I met in college who loves everything geeky. He lives in California. And so we started using Skype just to, like, you know, on Saturdays, like, you know, old guys getting around the diner drinking coffee, talking about how those kids these days and their rock and roll music. And we just started talking. And then we said, you know what? We should be recording these. And so that's where Entertechment, it was Entertainment and Technology. And that's where that started in 2012. And then we started, it's like, you know, we have such a wide topic, and we talk about anything, just kind of like what Geeks Wired, anything that pops up in the news that interests us, we talk about. And then 2 years ago, we said, you know what, we all love Star Wars, except for one of the group. He's a Trekkie, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he's the counter to our balance. And so we said, you know what, let's just hyper-focus, hyper-niche into the Star Wars community. And so the hardest part of that was trying to come up with a name for the podcast that was not already registered, trademarked, because you say Star Wars, there are so many Star Wars podcasts, and, you know, 90% of them are awesome, 10% of them are listenable, but, you know, if somebody's talking Star Wars, you know, my attention is grabbed, and someone's like, oh, Star Wars, and I just, you know, want it, and then I want to talk about it. And so we started 2 years ago, we started the Dune Sea Diner podcast. And so what we did was kind of a mix of, it's set in this restaurant that's out near Obi-Wan Kenobi's hut. And, you know, it's one of those off the beaten path, greasy spoons, full of the, you know, the Minock wings. And we kind of take a food angle at it. And so we've got, when we do a little special effects in the podcast, we've got the diner chat in the background and try and create an element for it. But I'll tell you what, we used to do every week and then schedules. And then we said, you know what, let's just do it once a month. So we do a once a month podcast, and apparently there's a movie coming out in December or something.
Hard to remember.
So I think we may be talking about that next week.
Or,
One Jedi, two Jedi.
Yeah, it's Jedi.
The plural.
Red Jedi.
So that's a little bit about Dune Sea Diner. Let's get back to the Pave Your Own Road podcast. How did you guys find an audience, or did your audience find you?
I think they found us. We started this for us, for just two of us, because.
We're not singing too much, man. Yeah. Copyright anyway. Takedown. Thank you, takedown notice.
Yeah, we, like Sean said, people weren't taking us seriously, so we put a microphone in front of them, and suddenly they actually listen to the dancers and good advice. So we were like, oh, we can put it up, but like, we didn't do anything. We didn't try to advertise, even. We just were like, let's stick a name on it.
Yeah, it's hard to like find people that want to listen to entertainers and entrepreneurs. Like, that's such a weird, like, central point of that niche either. Like, it's weird to find that specific niche.
And then people started listening.
Yeah.
They found you.
Yeah. And then, like, there's some people that are like, hey, so what are you doing next? And we're like,
what? Yeah, we've had some
You're
people
expecting
email.
An episode?
Yeah. We've had some people emailing us being like, hey, can I be on your podcast? Because I have this thing where, you know, I'm making, and I'm like, that's interesting. And I think, like, want us to go to them. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Social media. How are you guys handling social media with your podcast?
We hadn't, but then about a year ago we started a nerdy website as well called Nerd. And as we started doing more episodes of Pave Your Own Road and writing more stuff for the Nerd, we realized that there's some crossover.
Okay.
So we kind of
we're experimenting
now,
with that right now.
Yeah, we're now stepping out into Instagram, Facebook, obviously.
A little bit of Twitter.
Yeah.
Exploring the social media universe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bill Martin, you might want to hold that microphone because the next question goes to you. How did you find your audience, or how did your audience find you?
I started pushing social media, trying to hit Reddit, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and, you know, Twitter, I can't make 120 characters, you know, little cool thing, so I don't use as much.
Well, maybe you get 280 characters here pretty soon.
Hey! I started, like, Facebook was so-so, I kind of did well. Instagram, I really kind of grabbed onto it, like, I like this.
Okay.
I can edit some pictures, or I can get some stuff. Especially where each episode of my podcast has a picture of my face.
Okay.
So, you know, I do something with that. It's related to the title of it. And this works really well for Instagram, so I tried pushing Instagram. And, yeah, the social media, the more I notice this, I can drop and level and everything. If I am pushing social media out, like, if I'm pushing my Instagram out, 100 pictures a week, making people like it and enjoy it, I gain listeners. I actually had one person that messaged me on Instagram. I was like, we're a podcast? And I was like, yes, listen, let me know what you think.
We got one.
Yeah, I was like, hey, this is cool. So, like, I started saying it, and then I noticed when I'm so busy, I don't have time for social media, it kind of levels off, maybe even drops off a little bit. People are like, well, whatever, you know. But it, you know, definitely, I've been using social media. It helps out a lot. I also have a phone number that I can call as a Google number. It's real simple. Free. Have the Google email address. And so I push those out there. They're on the show notes. That's the other thing, the show notes. When I put in, like, I've seen podcasts, they go, oh, well, we have a podcast. Great.
Fantastic.
And I like the ones where you can look through and like, okay, what did you talk about this week? So I have all this, and except for YouTube, because it all auto-posts to YouTube, you just only like last 5 episodes gone.
Okay.
It will, you can click on, and Google Play, you can click on the links.
Okay.
So iTunes works really well. There's so many that push up. If you get an RSS feed direct to your phone, so I don't have a Google phone, so, and then, doing this is early, you know, so Android users didn't have a podcast, so I paid like $5 for a Pocket Cast app.
Okay.
But it just grabs the RSS feed, pulls in, but I can click on all these links, and I feel like, you know, hey, I can, people can call and see what I'm talking about.
A little bit of interactivity in there, too. Okay. So, Martin, tell us about your audience. Who found whom?
Yeah, so, when we first started on, YouTube, it was really just friends and family that were subscribers, and it was a pretty slow first 2 months. And, one of my buddies does miniature painting tutorials and, whole paints and stuff like that. And when we first started releasing our role-playing content, we would post in Star Wars Reddits and, role-playing subreddits and stuff like that. And the growth was pretty slow early on. But the miniature painting content was very, people were signing up in droves.
Really?
Yeah, so like, one of the very first tutorials we put out, was our biggest subscriber spike in our history of our channel. So Reddit was such a key tool for us to be discovered. And so really we were making our content as best as possible and putting it out there and doing some shameless promotion.
Right.
And, you know, very much checking the rules off the side to make sure we weren't violating subreddit's terms of service and stuff.
Right,
but,
yeah.
We definitely hit social media pretty hard and early on. And, luckily, we haven't had we've kind of hit market saturation for promoting our stuff on Reddit. When we're doing a 45 episode campaign, posting new episodes on Reddit doesn't get so much traction. But with this miniature painting stuff and one shots, we're able to bring something fresh to a new subreddit and find a new audience. So one of the things we're doing is we're not only playing campaigns to tell this overarching story, but we're also playing as many different systems as we can to hit different markets. Some people will find us through a Powered by the Apocalypse system or by a, you know, Star Wars system, and they'll find our other content. And so one of the things that's really worked out for us for building our fan base, and especially building a passionate fan base, is we created a Facebook group for people who like what we do. And right now we're at about 70 members, and considering we have about 3,500 subscribers, those 70 members are the diehards. They're the people that are super excited about what we do, and so we get to post a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff there, and we get to post a lot of updates that we wouldn't make a video for. Okay. And we use Twitter to be very personal connection. Like you have myself when ask me a question through Twitter and some of that. So that's how we use our different mediums. But for us, the Facebook group has actually been one of the biggest successes, even though it's our smallest group of fans. Okay. They're the most avid and active.
Okay. Let's talk about producing a podcast or a video. And with the Zonomaries, how do you produce? What is your producing process? How organized or unorganized is it? Is it organic? How do you guys go about producing a show from idea to getting it recorded?
So we... So, first we try to find the person that we would want to have on, whatever small business entertainer they are. We'll spend, an hour before, the night before, just going through questions, recorded on Audacity, and then it just takes, 2 hours to edit.
And then I always record, after the session, the pre and post, introducing them, and then at the end, kind of wrapping it up. The interview. So I always do those. And then as far as the questions, after we learned that people really like hearing stories, I kind of started writing more of the questions to lead people in the stories.
Okay.
Obviously, sometimes we do more than the degree. We want the details of, where did you go to school for this? What are the technicalities? And then we always have questions that lead to this awesome narrative of their life.
Wow.
So, I usually do questions for that, then he takes care of all the editing.
2 hours of editing, put it up on Libsyn, Liberated Syndication. Right now we just have it going towards iTunes, so picking out a lot of marketing stuff about it. But, yeah, so it's a pretty simple setup. We don't have a whole lot of, specific thing, a whole lot of things.
Yeah, and it helps that we're married.
Right.
Yeah. Because we're always
share the load.
Yeah.
Scheduling is easy.
Oh, we're both sitting on the couch watching Netflix. Let's take a break. Right. And the intro real quick.
Yeah. So as far as the workload, it's pretty shared. We communicate a lot about some of those, so it's pretty simple.
Okay. Bill Martin, what's your producing process like? You guys, you run the gamut. If it's in the news, what do you use to go search and find what is going to be on the show that week?
Just being online, searching, things that I'm normally interested in, and knowing also coming up, Star Wars, the movies, things get announced.
We've heard of it.
Yeah, Force Friday, Force Friday happened, and right. So you kind of prepare for some of the bigger events that you know are gonna be coming up, movies, big ground movies are doing it, what's coming out. We were very heavy on movies for quite some time, and trying to, change things around, start getting more into, smart devices for your home, start talking about that a little more, looking, so kind of just between Reddit, Facebook, Google, having the Google send me messages, they do certain with my email.
Okay.
There's just, and that's the thing about being the general podcast, I go up a bit, is there's a lot, and there's times I'm just like, I'm just going to talk about something. But having things set up is definitely,
worth that. Having than not having things set up.
And we were using paper, and I'm like, okay, we gotta hand this around, this is, some podcasts have heard.
For sure, is that, what is that paper?
What's great is, if your internet doesn't work, you have the paper you wrote on. So you can just record. Some people like it, I couldn't quite do it, started using, Google Keep.
Okay.
But we had iPhone users, and it would destroy their batteries.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, I found, Trello.
Okay.
And what's nice about that, I have these modes. So this is what we're doing. I can link it. It's, you can do an add-on for your Google. So this is a little interesting. Sometimes I just write modes. Something happened. Grab it, throw it in my Trello list, and then I can move over. So now my first one is, we can talk about this. The second one is, this is what we talk about on this episode. And I can name it right there.
Check.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's great also for going back and
you mentioned
I can get to that.
And so you mentioned before that this is at your house. I'm assuming that you are the editor of the podcast as well.
All and everything. Yes, I use Audacity. I have used Adobe. Okay. I can see Adobe working really well if I don't have the money for it, for the cloud account. There's a lot of this. I do have access to good Git for free, but it's something that I've been doing for 5 years, and now I have to learn this new. Right. I'm sure it's a great program. People who use it love it. Using Audacity is
what you know.
Is why, and I started, I don't know how to do this. Well, let me Google this. And that's the biggest thing. It's like, whatever you're using, just Google it.
There's going to be a YouTube video showing you how to do it.
I was in looking for this, but how to get rid of that kind of place. And the guy was like, oh, my dog's making noise in the background. I can look. I'm like, you can do that?
One click and you can erase your dog?
It is, that is
this is the best thing ever!
That's how I made my, if you go back and listen to our older ones, there might be the static or background noise that I have. That's the number one thing I do every time. I like, this is the sample, background noise, static, whatever. Depending on how much time, because I try to be safe for work-ish and go on the radio, so I try not to swear early one, you didn't care. So they're kind of cleaned up over that. So sorry, it doesn't kind of go and edit. So the one part is what we talk about is what goes up.
Okay.
So we try not to swear. We do get that control of or get down and try to hunt it down within that general time period. If there's a bit more editing that needs to be done, it takes lots of time. But when it's just this normal switch, I could probably turn the podcast around for the moment we're done recording to push it out and fast end a half hour.
Okay.
Yeah, like it gets some because I've gotten so good at just
doing it. You become routine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Martin, tell us a little about your producing process. How do you know what game you're gonna play, what you're gonna film?
Yeah, so we have campaigns that are just weekly and so that's one thing. But we also try and figure out stuff that might be seasonal. Like obviously October's coming out. Me and the group really like to do horror genre games, okay. And so there's a lot of fun different games you can play in that genre, and one of the bigger games is called Dread, which is like a Jenga tower, and you pull from the tower when you have to do something under duress or anything like that. And the crazy part about that game, especially for video, usually role playing is really easy to listen to, but maybe hard to watch.
Right.
When you play Dread, and you can see these people at the table, tense and anxious, and like standing up and
so
brushing the sweat off the brow, and so.
And the other people around them, scaring them, spooking them, trying to knock them off their game.
And we play at a pool table in my basement. I have a game room dedicated to the production room. bless my wife for letting me use a room of our house to do that. But to see that at the table, to see everyone leaning away from the table, and to see one person coming in with a shaky hand, that's really a pay dirt for some videos like that.
Yeah, that's worth cup of coffee!
Yeah, so we try and pick out stuff that either we haven't done before, so we can hit a new market, right? We're always trying to cast as big of a net as possible. So we have games on the horizon that might feel a lot like Stranger Things coming out. So, a game just came out called Tales from the Loop that we're really excited to play. And so we pick stuff that might be topical or seasonal because that's what people are searching for. Google is actually a wonderful website for reading analytics. And so we go in and we see what people are searching for using Google Trends. And, in October, they're looking for a little bit more horror stories. Right. Right? So, but we can also take stuff like Christmas time, and we could run a game Dread in a horror genre and make like a werewolf game called Santa Claus, but Claus like, attacking. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And so we're definitely trying to find out how to make things topical and seasonal. And, if there's a new game coming out or a new game announced that has a lot of hype, we'll look at that stuff and try and figure out what the market is hungry for, because that's how you grow. That's how people find you. And about 10% of our audience comes from people just Googling that genre. The other 90% is a lot of recommended analytics for that, but that 10%, if we're in that right market when they're Googling for it, we're on the front page of YouTube in all these different categories and where he is. So we have been really successful there. But mostly for us, it's what's topical, what's seasonal, and a lot of stuff too is we'll play a game in a certain system, and our fans are like, oh, I love this system. Have you tried this sister game to it?
Okay.
And so a lot of our stuff, if we get enough fan requests, then we'll play a game in the new system. Just to kind of keep them excited, because if they love what we do, they might show their friends, and if their friends subscribe.
I gave you the idea for this.
Yeah, and it's just listening to your audience, and YouTube is amazing because you have a comment section right below, and, you know, they can just interact and they'll tell you, like, one of our guys almost watches our content where he, like, live tweets his thoughts in the comment section
That's
of YouTube.
Awesome.
And, you know, and so it's just moments like that where you realize that you're not just a bunch of nerds in the basement playing a role-playing game, but all the
beyond us.
Yeah, like, what blows me away is 40% of our audience is international. We're a bunch of nerds. We're not celebrities. We're just a bunch of friends playing games
together
in the basement.
And
we have people in the UK, in Australia, in Czechoslovakia, who are avid fans.
Wow.
And it kind of makes the world a smaller place in a weird way, but it also makes it, it shows you that what you love isn't just regional. It's universal.
Transcends languages and countries and boundaries.
Absolutely.
Okay, very cool. Now, the name of this panel is Podcasting for Fun and Profit. We're going to talk a little bit about the profit side of it. Let's start with the Pave Your Own Road. Do you guys go out and try and find sponsors? Do you try and find revenue? And if you do, how do you go about it?
One of the things we were trying out for a while, we do like a lot of small businesses, and we were thinking, you know, people in the same town might listen to it, but they might be like, hey, I was on this podcast, check it out. And so we were like, can that business have an ad at the beginning? So one of them was a florist, and they're like, you come in and say, hey, I listened to you on the podcast, you 10% off, and then we get paid back for that.
Okay.
And so we're thinking about doing some of that stuff, and lately we've been doing a lot more entertainers, and so it's hard to find same ad revenues, and so someone's still playing with someone's trying to figure out for ours specifically. But that's kind of where our head is at. Is go, you know, we're already talking to businesses, so let's use those businesses to try to advertise for us. And it's kind of a step right back there.
Yeah, as far as money, that's non-existent.
Right, and it's one of those tough things that I've found is that you know, obviously. We do this because we're passionate about it. Whatever it is that we're talking about, we have a hunger for it. We're willing to do it for free, unfortunately.
Or pay for it.
Yeah. But it costs money for equipment and time and resources. And so you want to, you know, say, oh, it'd be great if I could just do this for a living.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part of it is trying to find out how to do this for a living because people want proof of performance. People want numbers. And they want to see, well, you know, this guy over here, he has 45,000 downloads a week. And this is me personally talking. You have 20 downloads a week. Why should I pay money to advertise on your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, we don't do it for the money. I mean, for us, like, we both have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we do. We love it. And we love seeing people. Just like when they're talking about what they love, like you just see the passion behind it. And like for us, like it's worth it. It's worth it for us to buy an expensive microphone. And even though we don't get paid money a lot of times.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Always keep that yet out there.
Yeah.
Almost.
Someday.
Yeah, even though we haven't yet been paid with money, a lot of times when we interview people, it opens up more connections. Or they give us some of their product for free.
And word of mouth, too, because they might be talking at the old, I guess you say the old Chamber of Commerce meeting going, hey, I heard you on such and such a podcast and you're talking about such and such. Well, I was on a podcast, had a really good time. You should try it out.
Yeah. So it kind of helps each other out, especially like if you kind of do it within the same town, businesses and stuff within it, so they can kind of
It definitely has a community feel, and I think the way that we go about asking the questions, people are really interested in it, and they really love our style, our storytelling, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that'll kind of push us up to the next level.
Nice. So, Bill Martin with Geeks Are Wired, tell me about, you've had some success going to local merchants and striking up that relationship with local merchants to talk about them on your podcast.
Yes. And that's the biggest thing, is that you need to just, you know, go and do it. What's the worst they can say? No? It's like, oh, okay, whatever. And I've had that.
Well, get out, I have a shotgun. That could be worse.
Okay,
but
that could be
no,
worse.
No, I could say no.
But if you're on the merchants, usually they keep their shotguns.
Okay. I haven't been shot at
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes they ask for numbers. And they're like, okay, yeah, here's the numbers. Sometimes they're like, okay, one of them was, back then was Carmike. And it was, I was fairly new. And I was like, hey, I know podcasts go get free movies. Can I get in on this? And they're like, sure, you are. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that happens. Sounds like it.
But over the years, you have struck up a relationship with them. And that relationship has, I used to say, paid off for you.
I was getting discount movies. Yeah. And I wasn't getting paid.
Right.
There wasn't any, you know.
But it was intangible.
Yes. And, but, you know, I looked online because there's even things like, if you have a website, and I need to get that back, you can also send me with Amazon. Hey, look, use our Amazon link. We get X percentage of what you buy. If you're buying it anyways, help us. You know, just like that out there. You know, ask people. Sometimes they want those $10,000. Like, yeah, that's usually the minimum that they look at. And it's about and a half a listener is what they pay out. But you have, everyone wants that $10,000 at minimum. Some want more, but that's usually the good start. I'm kind of close, like I said, when I took 2 weeks off, they lost. So, yeah, like, ah, oh, so close, oh, well. But they, then you can start pushing out for external sponsors if you really want to. But I kind of like having the openness. Mm-hmm. Talking to people, the gaming community, they're on the lawn, you know, hey, go to these, whatever places. Talk to work with them. And then also going to them and like help, yeah, you're having a Magic Gathering event. Yes, we'll give out prizes too, and we'll do this. But you like, it's just, I have fun doing it. It was, that you're chatting about stuff. Yes, yeah. We have fun with stuff, but we're chatting what we always chat about anyways. We just have mics in front of us now.
That works. All right, Martin, you talked a little bit about Google and the SEO, the analytics and stuff. What about a profit plan for your guys' YouTube?
Yeah, so we advertise our videos, and, you know, so we get ad rev from YouTube. But, you know, people think that when you start doing YouTube, you might make a lot of money real quick. YouTube doesn't even pay you until you make $100 to begin with. And you have to pretty much get about 1,000 views to get $1 on YouTube. And so that can be pretty steep, right? You have to create content worth watching to make money that YouTube won't pay you for. So when we first started out, we didn't expect to make any money. We were doing this because a lot of our friends that used to play with us had moved away, and we wanted them to be able to still feel like they were part of the adventures. And so when we first started out, it was kind of a conversation between, well, how crappy do we make this versus how it produced. Well, I'm a perfectionist at heart, so I doubled down on working way too hard on everything. And over time, when our audience grew, we finally hit that benchmark where YouTube's like, okay, here's $100. You know,
here's a dollar.
Yeah, and so,
spend it all in one place, kid.
Yeah, so we'll release a video and it'll get, you know, a couple hundred views in the first couple days, but that doesn't mean that much for YouTube money, right? So for us, what's actually been really surprising is, about 6 months ago, we started a Patreon page. And Patreon comes with its whole other list of worries and woes and concerns. But we wanted to provide our audience with an opportunity, if they wanted to support us. And I know that's how a lot of podcasts actually make money nowadays. So we were like, well, we'll see what happens. And when we first launched it, we did like this big weekend launch event. We donated all of our first month to charity, and it was just nothing. Nobody, no nothing whatsoever. And so it was literally like me going up to my friends and family and being like, please just give me like $2 a month.
We need something to show
you
for this.
Yeah. Like, just because people want
to back. Don't send me birthday money, Grandpa.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go to Patreon.com.
Yeah, Patreon.com. Yeah. But people want. But like Kickstarter, people want to back a successful product. So there's this kind of barrier of entry. So you have to kind of grind it out and get, you know, get your friends invested. You know, a lot of us have podcasts where there's 5 people maybe part of production. Well, you have to talk to your friends and be like, how invested are you in making this successful? You know, and then, so in a weird way, you're kind of asking your friends to help fund your hobby, but it's their hobby too. And so if you want it to be successful, you have to put money behind it. But more than that, you have to put a lot of time behind it. And I wouldn't, we make more money than we spend every month, but that is by no means me quitting my job anytime soon.
Yeah.
And so,
hey, boss, guess what I think of this job?
Yeah, so we're just getting to the point on Patreon where we're feeling, where we built a website. You know, a YouTube channel doesn't terribly need a website, but we're also going to start podcasting and creating our audio files from our videos for people who want to listen on the go or not watch the videos of that. And our Patreon backers have been very responsive to that. That has been a request that we've got a lot. So, and then we're considering going into live streaming. And so we're constantly trying to expand our brand, which is also constantly adding more of my workload. Me and my friends, you know, and the biggest part about this, like you guys are husband and wife, it's duping your friends into helping you. Absolutely unpaid labor, to make this successful.
Hey, you have a pickup truck. You want to help me move this weekend?
Yeah. Or,
and hey, let's do a podcast.
Hey, you're not terribly awkward on video. You want to shoot, you know, 45 hours of Star Wars with me? You know? And so you just do. All of my role-playing friends were not people that I found at a gaming shop. They were friends that I duped into becoming role-players for my channel.
Okay.
So it, you have to get that investment, because then that creates a community of immediate friends and family that really want to support you and see you be successful. And then you can really buckle down for the long haul and grind that it takes to actually make any money in this business. Yeah. This business is a labor of love way more than it is trying to get rich quick.
Right. We're running out of time here. We have a few minutes left. Final question. We'll start with Maurice and Sean. What is the next big thing you guys have ahead of you, or what is something you would like to do that would be the next big thing?
We are thinking of slightly changing the style of podcasts. Right now it's, you know, it's just kind of the same small town, you know, small business entrepreneurs. And we're thinking, if we can go specifically have multiple people doing better, do the same job, and then get into more, you know, get more details on the nitty gritty. That way, somewhat, you know, specifically, you know, the reason behind that we want listeners is they're like, I want to do that. How do I do that? And so we're thinking about putting more of the, you know, what's the average salary? What's the average education required? What's the, you know, what do you need to do to actually get to the point where you can start this thing? But what training specifically have you got for it? So we're thinking about adding a bit more technicality on our end, doing a bit more research, and then having our guests give just the stories and giving us the technicalities off right, so we can get the more exciting stuff from them and the more technical stuff from us.
And then we're thinking of just to try to be more consistent with our episodes.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we realize.
You guys are saying it's great. You guys didn't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So
you guys, yeah. Message received back on every week. I get
you. You're right.
Or monthly.
Whatever it is.
We're thinking, so a lot of times after we've turned the microphone off, Sean and I start talking about what we just listened to. And it's almost like we're, like, tearing apart, like, what happened, and we're talking about the pros and the cons of being an actress or being a voice actor or being a cosplayer. And we're like, maybe we should record this stuff too. So we're thinking about having, like, almost like in-between episodes.
The BTS, like, episodes, behind the scenes.
Yeah,
so we're definitely excited. 2018, we're definitely going to shift, hopefully for the better, and have more crossovers with our website, because that kind of took off more than our podcast. Yeah. So,
that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Between the podcast and the nerd website that we have.
Yeah, so we're really excited for the future, and we'll definitely be pushing more for the social media. Obviously, you guys are pros, so...
Yeah. Compared to us, you guys are
nice. So, Bill, what's the next big thing for you? What's something you're working on, or something you would like to work on?
I probably want to get a website back. I had one, and then I didn't pay for renewal, and I'm kicking myself because it's hard to get that one back. So I might have to do the Geeks and Wire podcast on some of that. But what's nice though is also you hear Geeks and Wire, you like that one from your podcast, but I don't think that's. Put the podcast in my name. I'm fine. I'll accept that. Just what I maybe get social media and the analytics. Even like even on YouTube, I still see the analytics. Yeah, having everyone from overseas, you know, on the. I'll get my website up.
Okay, fantastic, Martin. How about you? Next big thing for you? Something you'd really like to do?
Yeah, so I am way more ambitious than I have time to do all the stuff that I want. So most immediately, we are actually performing live today on this very stage at 4 p.m. So me and my crew are doing a Scooby-Doo adventure today at 4 p.m.
Awesome.
So if you like role-playing games... Zoink, Scoob! Yeah, so we've been practicing our voices. We've been watching the 1970s TV show getting ready. So it's going to be really ridiculous. We have a cosplayer that made costumes for us. So
awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's the immediate. But we have podcasting starting soon. We want to do... we found this role-playing game where everybody plays as baby dragons and you save the dragon kingdom through the power of friendship.
Okay.
And we're a bunch of adults who use inappropriate language, and we very much make content for adults generally. But we're going to double down on ridiculousness so hard. So we're going to get puppets, and we're going to do this as a Twitch live stream where every puppet has its own camera,
oh my goodness.
We're going to do voices. And so that's one big project that we're still trying to get our mind around and trying to just constantly evolve what we're doing because... You know, we have an avid fan base, but we're always wanting to hit new markets and grow and see what we're capable of as performers and as role players.
Mark, a piece of advice to you and your crew, try and think big, okay? Just, you know, give that a shot. That might do something for you. My goodness, I'm tired just listening to you. Oh, man. All right, well, this has been a lot of fun. The panel is called Podcasting for Fun and Profit. Profit heavy emphasis on fun. I want to thank Sean and Marlies Tasker, Bill Martin Baker, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And sounds like all of us are going to be busy for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. You're welcome. Woo! All right, round of applause for everybody. Woo!